And welcome to another edition of Zoomed In. My name is Brandon Chapman, and I'm really pleased to be joined by our friend and colleague, Judy Schultz. Judy is no stranger to the College of Education, and if you hear her dogs in this, we all know that Judy has a fond, good spot in her heart for dogs, because Judy, your faculty photo actually for the College of Ed for a long time had you and one of your dogs, so... Yes, so that was wonderful. It just wouldn't be Judy Schultz without the dog. So if they try to get some camera time, we're okay with that. Well, thank you for joining me, first of all. One of the reasons that we wanted to have you on was in just the last couple months, there was a fall 2022 celebration of assessment excellence, and that happened on the 8th of November, and the university ended up honoring some programs within the university, 9 programs, in fact, across 5 different colleges that did that were recognized for outstanding assessment, and kinesiology was one of those, and you had a big role to play in that. So that is, I guess, really the onus, the fodder for us discussing that. Oh, and there she is, and before we go, tell us a little bit about your dog.
Yeah, this is Georgette, and she is our 5th service dog puppy that we've raised for Canine Companions.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She gets to come with me to school and be with the students. And
oh.
So she's got to learn how to be retired now, too, with me. So.
we'll get to your retirement, actually. Let's start from the beginning, though. I'd love to know about your journey with kinesiology all the way up until your recent retirement, and obviously just because you're retired doesn't mean that you're long gone, because you are still teaching within kinesiology. But tell us, when you came to WCU and some of that journey.
Okay, so I actually thought I was going to be a public school teacher in special ed, and so I wrote an undergraduate degree that combined kinesiology and psychology. Because I kind of gathered that education is more than just teaching about teaching the mind. It's about the whole person and involves movement too. So kinesiology ended up being someplace that I felt really at home and really interested, because all the classes that I took fit with what I did in my everyday life. I could go out and take a drink from a drinking fountain and understand the connection between the stimuli and the responses, and so I got really really interested in that. Ended up going on into graduate school with some really good mentors, and finally ended up at WSU finishing my interdisciplinary PhD here. And at that time, there was a need for adjunct instructors in the program, so I started teaching. And the program was kind of dying away. It was having some troubles back in the 90s is when this was. And I ended up teaching, at one point, teaching 5 different classes in the program that our majors had to take, and doing all the advising. And we only had, I think, about 60 students total at that time. And I used to joke that they graduated from the Schultz School of Kinesiology, because they had to take all these classes from me. But we ended up being able to build the program back with the help of a series of deans and chairs that, kind of kept us going and supported us and helped us to build back. And so I taught for a while as a GA while I was finishing my PhD, and then I got a position that involved teaching and advising for the program. So it was a what's now called a career track position. And so I've had that for years. It then morphed into full-time teaching with a little bit of research activity and service, and that's kind of where I've ended up. In the program. So that's kind of my history. I've taught a lot of the classes in the program, the philosophy of sport, psychology of sport, motor control, motor development, research design, and I'm finishing up with a class I developed in the physics behind movement for our students.
Wonderful. And I it was a pleasure actually to be able to be at your retirement ceremony, and I got to take photos of happy people and crying people, happy tears, by the way, with a little bit of, you know, it's bittersweet. And it was obvious that you had a tremendous effect on a number of faculty and some students actually that were there as well. So I think the work that you did was really valued. And I can't help but just point out that when I came to the College of Education, I heard about, you know, the program back in the 90s and how it was struggling. And it just kind of blew my mind, because that is not the program that I've seen since I've been at the College of Education, almost 10 years. It's a very strong and growing stronger program. And so it's hard to believe that at one point it was that. But I think that's a testament to all the work that the faculty have done on that, and students have bought in, right? They've bought into to what has been proposed and laid out in front of them as you know, their course of study. So I think that's pretty neat. So let's shift gears then and talk about the this assessment and being recognized for the assessment. I pulled up the news article here that that the university released, and WCU Provost Executive Vice President Elizabeth Chilton had mentioned, you know, these nine programs representing diverse academic disciplines. And I looked at the programs, and they're across the spectrum here. And so to see kinesiology among such other great programs was really great. But the recognition, it says, was based on programs using results from learning outcomes assessment of primarily senior majors as reported in 2020 or 2021. I think you could probably tell us a little bit more about what the process looked like, but obviously those results came in, and learning outcomes is, it's all about outcome, right? And the student experience. So tell us a little bit about, how you got, I don't want to say roped into it, because that sounds negative. How did you get put on the assessment side of this? And yeah, talk about that process.
Well, I think it kind of started with me, the understanding of the importance of program assessment, when I was concurrently a volunteer with the Girl Scouts, and I am a national trainer for adults who lead troops and Girl Scouts, and for trainers too. And one of our one of the contents of the course we give trainers involves assessment, basically. And the idea that we can take, we can do the same thing, you know, this is a common quote that people use, you can do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. But what assessment is about is trying to fix or change what you're doing so that you get better results. And in the Girl Scout program, I found the structure really useful as thinking about assessment. We all do course evaluations. That's really basically how the students liked your course and how they liked you. But that doesn't really say anything about the impact of what you're doing. You can ask them also what they learned. So you can ask them about their knowledge. That gives us a little bit more information about what they learned. But also, it's about whether they actually put what they've learned to use in their lives, and whether that has an impact on other people. And so the impact of what you're teaching in your course grows out and out and out. So hopefully you change more than just that one student, but you change the people that they work with. So if you're training somebody in motor learning and they learn a technique for giving feedback, it's one thing to test whether they get the feedback, whether they know how to give the feedback, and whether they liked your course. But it's another thing to go out and see whether they actually use that technique for giving feedback, and whether it really impacts their students in a positive way. So you can see that your assessment might actually go beyond what happens here at the university. It could actually happen maybe in a classroom, or evaluation of clients belonging to a personal trainer or something like that, to see whether they're impacted by what the student learned. We don't always do as well at that that level of assessment. We do better at the immediate reaction to the course and the knowledge. But assessment at WSU has kind of morphed over the years. And when I first started, because I was really interested in the process of assessment, volunteered to be on this committee and ended up being the only one on the committee for many years. Started out as critical thinking assessment. That was a big focus. So in the early 2000s, and I worked with Casey Hildenbrand Athletic Training on critical thinking and kinesiology, and we published some stuff. And that was through the Center for Teaching and Learning, which has changed its name several times, and now it's called Assessments, I don't even remember, ACE, right?
Yes.
Some ACE.
Yeah, it is. I had it right here in front of me. The Academic Office of Assessment for Curriculum Effectiveness.
Assessment for Curriculum Effectiveness, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've changed it so many times that I've totally forgotten even the name of the program. But basically, the process is figuring out what you think the outcomes are that you want your students to have when they leave your program. What do you want them to be able to do or know? And then finding tools that measure those things. And they can be direct or indirect measures. A direct measure would be like an exam question or an interview of a student. Indirect measure might be a discussion with a supervisor of an internship, for example.
I was just going to mention that, you know, it's obviously as a land-grant university, outcome is vitally important. I mean, we have to help change lives. We have to help make a positive impact. And often that outcome, you don't see it for years. So as well as we, you know, as much as we see, you know, in the immediate, you know, the present and the immediate, you know, short-term future, we have to kind of assume like that this will carry out, and that, let's just say, a kinesiology graduate is going to make tremendous impacts on other people's lives. But my question was really in regards to how do we see in such a short period of time that outcome is, you know, is happening? And, you know, whether it's anything in the college, whether it's do we have a student teacher that, you know, is immediately making an impact on a student? Are these internships or practicums with, you know, kinesiology students that we're able to see or monitor or figure out, yes, they actually had a, you know, physical therapy internship and here this person's walking again better than they were before, right? You know, pain free, or like how do we really dive down and see that we're creating this positive change for other people, right? Because I think your point about, you know, not just on the students, but, you know, down the road, right?
Right.
Making that impact on others is so important.
And it's important, and it's one thing that it's something that we kind of fall down on. We've tried several times to do alumni assessment surveys, but it's just really hard to find people and get responses. But yes, one of the things that we did as a result of our assessment process over the years was to change the requirements for our program so that they include a required internship for every student. So that way we are able to see them apply and learn what they might need that we're not giving, and so that we can learn what we need to change in our program. So really the end result for the assessment process is closing the loop. So it's figuring out what the outcome should be, measuring it, and then closing the loop by figuring out how to target that outcome better.
You obviously know kinesiology even better than I do. There are so many, there's such a variety of areas of expertise, industries, whatever that a kinesiology student can go into, right? And some use it, some get their bachelor's and immediately start working, and some use it almost a pre-med. And I mean, there's just so many different fields that, how do you keep track of all that? You know, like what kind of outcome? The outcome is almost immeasurable in some ways. It seems so abstract because there's so many different ways we could positively influence people. So I don't know how you even track all of that.
Right. Yeah, so we do have a set of outcomes, and we also have the WSU University Student Achievement Goals. And so those things both play into the program for assessment and evaluation of your program, and then updating it to go forward. We've done some things like included an advisory board now, and they encouraged us to keep one course that we thought we might want to drop. And so using them as part of our assessment process, because they see what people with Kinney's backgrounds are doing out in the world, the stakeholders who are on the advisory board.
In terms of seeing what some of the students are doing, I know I've attended the Brewer Wood Undergraduate Research Conference or Symposium multiple times, right? And it feels, you know, like an academic, you know, research poster session. But all these students, they have to, sometimes for the very first time, they have to share their research with their peers and with judges, and then defend their research against questions and other things. And it's a really good process, right? It's not only fun to learn about new things, but kind of inherent in all of these posters is here's the result, right? Here's the body of research, and here's what we find, right? I don't know what part of that plays into any assessment to see that these capstone, posters are, I don't know if you use those.
There is a scoring system for those posters that goes into our assessment process as one of the direct measures. And also the course that Kim Holmstrom teaches is a capstone course, and it has also an assessment that goes with it as part of being the capstone, which involves those university outcomes, like even diversity is included in that. And there's a questionnaire that Kim fills out every semester that goes into our assessment process about how well that capstone performance that semester met our outcomes in the university student goals.
Yeah, not only just the outcome of what students are doing, but just going through this process of assessment, was there any kind of outcome-based change or like something that the program itself said, hey, now that we've gone through this process, we see here's an area where we feel like we're falling short, and let's make this tweak here or change something so that it's even stronger for, you know, the next group of students. Anything you might have improved or built upon?
Yes. The internship edition was one big piece that we improved based on our program. But we also have been working on a class, an additional class in exercise programming that we saw that students were kind of falling down on, because Kim had to teach all of that plus the content for her course. And so we've kind of tried to divide her course into two. And we're working right now with a graduate student on preparing that new class. And so that's how the award came about for this time. They don't, when they tell you you get the award, you just get this letter that you've been selected, and it comes like on email. But they didn't tell us why. And it turned out that it was because of COVID. This was kind of a catch-up. So it was actually for a couple years ago, the assessment process for 2020 instead of 2021. So I was kind of surprised when they told us that our what our award was for, because it was something we had done a couple years ago instead of something that we had done most recently. So
so we could say that was COVID. That was not the speed of government, you know. To be very clear,
it also turns out that was actually at, I'm thinking that we have also gotten an award two times before for assessment.
Okay.
For a kinesiology program.
So we have a legacy going now.
Yes, and so I, you know, part of it is a little bit of surprise. There's many, many programs around campus, and so it makes me wonder, you know, why more different programs aren't getting these awards. So
In the meantime, you just keep doing your thing, you know?
Breaking it in, yeah. We got all these certificates that we don't know where we're going to hang them, but...
So what was but you did have the ceremony, so even though you got the unceremonial, letter, email, tell me about that.
So it involved bringing in the assessment team from the college and the program of each of the recognized programs. So Phyllis Erdman and Tolu... Adeshope, yeah, came. And then our... Kira, our chair, and a couple other faculty came. So they bring in the people that support the assessment process as well as the assessment coordinators for the program. And then they just go through a ceremony where they talk about the program, what their goal was that they had decided needed adjustment, and what the program did as in response to the assessment. And then they give you a certificate and take your picture. So,
did they feed you like filet
they
mignon
feed you
or?
Too. Yeah, they feed okay. you too.
Yes. I hope it was a good one. If not, then you could say, "Hey, I've got some assessment for you." Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you got to experience that. And you know, from my viewpoint, from my vantage point, it's always been kinesiology has always done an amazing job. And when I see these bits of news, it just sort of confirms to me, right, that here's data that supports, you know, the just at least the opinion that kinesiology is robust. It's doing well. It's a great look for the university, and more than anything, as a land grant university, it's creating that impact. You told us about your process. Your journey from when you started with kinesiology. I just wanted to, now that you are retired though, I wanted to just ask you. Let's conclude with this. Like, tell us about what you're doing in kinesiology right now. Like, what class are you teaching? Because I think I heard you were teaching a class.
Yes.
And what else are you doing? Are you still involved with the Girl Scouts? And you're obviously training dogs still.
Training dogs. The Girl Scouts I had to put on hold for a while because of COVID, the teaching requirements that we had the last couple years before I retired, and when I had a full load for teaching, I was spending so many hours on Zoom and teaching these classes that I just had no time for anything else. So I'm not doing that, but I am teaching only one course. I'm teaching and responsible for kind of tweaking for the last time our new course in the Physics Foundations for Movement. And so I'm actually kind of serving as a TA for our graduate student. So she's teaching the lecture part and I'm doing the labs. So that's kind of a fun reversal. And just kind of updating things and making sure they're ready to go for whoever comes on next time around. So I only have to be on campus a couple days a week.
Okay.
I'm also the advisor for the Canine Companions affiliated puppy raiser club. So we have a bunch of students who meet almost once a week to handle dogs, learn about dog training, and potentially get some puppies to raise on campus for Canine Companions. So I do that too. And for anybody who's listening, I need to pass that on. So I need another advisor who's willing to come on for that. And I'm trying to learn how to be retired. I told my husband the other day I was treating it like another job where I had all the stuff I was supposed to get done. And I really should be treating it more like a vacation.
Yeah.
Where I have some choices of what I do. So it's a learning process.
Well, I see behind you, you've got a lot of books that you still probably need to read.
Yes. Yeah, there's never enough books, that's for sure.
That's right. Well, just so you know, every time I heard the collar on the dog, it just made me smile. So
Good.
Yeah, it sounds like retirement is as busy, if not busier than before. So it's a different kind of busy, huh?
Different kind of busy, yeah.
Oh man. Well, let me ask you: is there anything else, since you have the floor and you have the mic? If there's anything you want to add before we end,
I just want to say that I think that my experience in the program has been so great, and a lot of it's due to the faculty, but primarily all of the students. They have just been great all along, and I love the little light bulb moments, you know, where students get something, like they get why it's important to study sports psychology, so they end up going on to graduate school in sports psych, or they get that you can spend a whole semester talking about sport philosophy and values and ethics in sport, or they understand a concept for the first time and they say, oh, I see how this could work in, or they come to you and say, you know, you are the person that has made me feel accepted and okay about myself. So those are the great moments.
Awesome. Makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Judy Schultz, thank you so much for joining. Judy, retired sort of, and, yes. And just keep doing good work, and maybe learn how to retire. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me.